I'm thankful to be here today. It's been a wonderful day. Gus was all over it. He told my secret, in 30 days I will turn 40. And I know I do not look it, do I? But I was thinking about, I had never met Brother Randy before. I was thinking about when he was preaching, how he talked about the Ark of the Covenant representing Jesus Christ. He talked about the things that were placed in the Ark of the Covenant. One thing that was placed in the Ark of the Covenant, he mentioned, were the tablets that the Ten Commandments were written on. I believe both sets. You know why there were two sets? Because man broke the first set. Moses threw them down, threw the tablets down in anger because of the idolatry going on with the children of Israel. Those tablets were broken. God gave him another set. You see, in the Ark of the Covenant, there were two sets. The set that man broke and could never keep, and the set that was unbroken by the man Jesus Christ. That representation has always been a beautiful picture to me. But if you will, look at the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. I'm going to start in the 48th verse. Y'all tell me if y'all have ever heard this story before. In the 48th verse of the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, it says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." Probably about the first Bible story we all ever learned, one of them for sure. I'm a big sports fan. I watch a lot of ball games. I hear this referenced a lot when you have a big underdog playing. I think about, Randy mentioned an 80s movie with Indiana Jones. I'll mention another one, the movie Hoosiers. Remember the basketball movie Hoosiers? They're about to play for the state championship, the little small school from Hickory, Indiana. And in the devotion in the locker room for the game, the man reads this story about, you know, David taking the stone and slaying Goliath. You know, the little guy beating the big guy. This story is still used often in society today. They'll tell you that you're David and that you just lean on God and you can slay Goliath. You can slay the giant. They will throw in their little God that you lean on God and do that. They'll teach you that our fears, our problems, our obstacles, that they're Goliath and that we're David fighting this battle. Well, I want to look at what the Bible teaches in this story, in the 17th chapter here. There's a few things you'll notice about David. In verse 42, it says, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance." I think it's safe to say there was nothing special physically about David. Goliath didn't look at him physically and fear him, did he? Nothing special about him. Well, I read about another man that there was nothing special about physically. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, in the second verse, it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." There's another man who there was nothing special physically about. Another thing you'll see about the man David here, or the child, really, David, he was rebuked and rejected by men. Look at verse 28. This is his own brother speaking here. "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." His own brother. The verse I just mentioned in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the second verse, the third verse says, he is despised and rejected of men. Think about the first chapter of John. He came into his own, and his own received him not. So he was rejected by his own. Jesus Christ made a great declaration in the 6th chapter of John. In the 37th verse, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all he giveth me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He made this great declaration of what he was came down for. You know what the people said about this? You read on down in verse 42. The verse 42 reads like this. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? Who does he think he is? Who does this man think he is? You see, he was rejected and despised of men. In the 15th chapter of John, in the 25th verse, Jesus taught a lesson there of what they would face, of what his disciples would face. And he said of himself, he said, they hateth me without a cause. There's no reason. They hated him for doing good. They didn't hate him for doing bad. They hated him for doing good. Another thing you'll find here about David, when he fought the giant, he had no weapons of war when he went to battle with the giant. In verse 43, it says, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. As I read in verse 50, it says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. Don't much think of those as weapons of war, do we, when he was fighting this mighty giant? How did Jesus fight his battle here on earth? In a way that was most unexpected. His people didn't expect this to happen, did they? They didn't grasp it the whole time he was telling them what was going to happen. They couldn't get their head around it. But he fought this battle against sin, death, hell, and the grave in a unique way. The Jews, they were expecting an earthly king. They were expecting somebody to come back and be in power. They tried to get him to be in power. In fact, Herod, in the second chapter of Matthew, he sought to slay the firstborn male child, right? Why? Thought he was a threat to him. He thought he was coming to try to set up an earthly kingdom, a government. You know, over in 2 Samuel, in the 17th chapter, Nathan tells this to David. He says, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. It was a forever throne. In the 6th chapter of John, more toward the beginning of the chapter, you will see that they tried to take Jesus and make him king. They wanted him to be the king. You know what Jesus did? Just departed away, went by himself. That's not what he came to do. That's not how he came to do it. You see, he came in an unexpected way. Jesus Christ is the greater David. I'm going to tell y'all something today that I know you believe, but I think it needs to be reiterated. Y'all ready? It's hard. The Bible's not written about you. Okay? The Bible's not written about me. You see, Goliath is sin. He is iniquity. He is troubles. He is trials. He is death. He is hell. He is the grave. And the greater David has slain all this. There's at least 6 times in the book of Matthew where Jesus Christ is referred to as the Son of David. In the 5th chapter of Revelation, in the 5th verse, it says, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David hath prevailed. You see, David's battles, his victory, his kingdom to come, they were pictures of the eternal king. In the first chapter of Luke, it says this, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." He is the greater David. From Genesis to Revelation, it is a story of God redeeming his people and all things unto him through the person of Jesus Christ. That's what this entire book is about. I was told a long time ago, I heard this, and I've always remembered it when I started to try to preach. Anything you find in this book, all 66 books of it, anything you find, you take it and you run as fast as you can to the cross. And I believe that's exactly what this story is teaching us here. You see, because if we're David, we're in big trouble. What happens when you're out there facing the giant and you miss? You take that stone and you miss. You say, "Well, I got five stones." Well, you'll miss with all five. I think about this prosperity doctrine, this self-help doctrine, that you can do all these things. I think about Paul and all that he went through. Did he persevere? I think about John the Baptist, who had his head on a platter at the request of this girl. Did he persevere in that sense? You see, we can't bear this burden. We're not biblical heroes. In verse 37 here, it says, "David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." He will deliver it. Over 20 times in the New Testament, it mentions that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, God was with this man. God was with David. God is with Jesus Christ, obviously. But He is the greater of all these, of David, Moses, Abraham, Joseph, Solomon, Jonah, Nehemiah, Noah, Job, Joshua, Melchizedek, Adam, Isaac, Solomon. He's the greater of all of these. And you may ask, and it's a good question, who are we then? Well, we're in here. Verse 11 says, "And Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine. They were greatly dismayed and greatly afraid." Verse 24, it says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." Verse 33 says, "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." You see, that's us. We're Mephibosheth. We're the lame boy who has no ability. Him being our kinsman redeemer. I love that story. The kinsman redeemer. You say, "Well, he was Jewish. We're no kin to him." Well, the 10th chapter of Romans says there's no difference between Greek and Jew. I claim him. Jesus Christ is our everything. He fought this battle and it is over. So what is our response to this? And I know my 15 minutes is about up.
Got 2 minutes.
Verse 51. "Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." Here we go. Here's our part. "And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way, the Sherem, even unto Gath and unto Ekron." You see what the children did? They ran after their champion. They followed David. They knew that David's victory was their victory. The victory was won. I'll close with this. You think about this. I've heard this all my life, and it's a good saying. And the book of Revelation, very hard to understand. People say, I've read the back of the Bible and we win. There's a half-truth in that. We do win because Jesus Christ has already won. I thank you for your attention.